This is Five After the Hour by Les Weinrott. Permit us to lure you with the theme. Allow us to assuage you with the melody. For this is the opening of Five After the Hour. Music for this series is the original composition of Sal Stocco, and the orchestra is under the direction of Cesar Petrillo.
Good evening. Tonight we concern ourselves with a blight upon the fair American scene. We view from all angles an American fascist, a rabble-rouser, a hate-monger. And since even an analytic piece must have a title, we quote Hazlitt, who said,
"Prejudice is the child of ignorance."
And call our offering Child of Ignorance. Since this is an American child, let us bring it into the world with music typical of America. Notice that the music is gay and free. Perceive that the leitmotif is tolerant and filled with good nature. But this American child is a child of ignorance. He will grow up into a monster. The child will grow into a man who will spew hate and prejudice. He will become a weed in the lush garden of the United States, a blight on all good things, a malignant growth on the tolerance that is America. There he is, the child of ignorance. That is his voice. Remember it, for it is the voice of destruction. It is the cry of viciousness. It is the battle bray of the American fascist.
And I say to you, Americans, don't sit still for this sort of thing. Fight fire with fire. Burn if you have to. Destroy if you have to. Kill if you have to.
Is he speaking of an enemy of the United States? Do these mealy-mouthings concern themselves with a foe that threatens us with invasion?
We know what to do with these babies. We've got plenty of lampposts in these United States. Enough lampposts to string each of these dissatisfied Americans to a lamppost apiece. That's the cure for them. And this doctor is one American. One real, honest-to-God, red-blooded American who's got enough intestinal fortitude to prescribe for them.
There you have it. Freedom of speech. Sure, we've got freedom of speech. And the child of ignorance uses it. Uses it to sow the seeds of discontent, of suspicion, of greed and avarice and plunder. Lay into the minority. Take it out on the little guys. And if anyone dares raise his voice in protest, shout him down.
And let
shout him down by accusing him of being un-American. That's the ticket. Wrap the red, white, and blue about yourself, child of ignorance, and show the wise guys up.
We're coming. Coming to take them for a ride. A nice, long, one-way ride.
How can such a monster grow to manhood in these United States? How can he thrive and flourish? How can he have arrived at his present poisonous state?
You rang?
I did. Prepare the laboratory, please. Lay out the instruments for dissection. Scalpels, probes, etc. And select various historical cases for comparison.
At once, sir.
Oh, yes, and invite every American to attend.
I'll take care of everything. This sounds important. May I ask who the subject is to be?
Subject? Make out a card. It should read, A Clinical Dissection of the Child of Ignorance. The poisonous state of the subject's body suggests that his present condition had its origin in early childhood.
I had to do it. I had to, I tell you.
But why did you have to? Who forced you, darling? Did someone make you do it?
I can't tell you, Mom. I can't tell you. He'd hurt me. Something terrible. I can't.
The poison began to work early. In the subject and all other children, he made the victims of his cruelty. Now, mind you, evidence points out that he was not brave in his persecution. Always he was able to convince someone else to do the part of his dirty work that requires physical courage. This manifested itself, too, at an early age.
You guys do what I tell you, see? Exactly what I tell you, and we'll take over the whole neighborhood. But first, you gotta swear a blood oath. You gotta swear that no matter what happens, you'll stick together. And to me.
Notice that the blood oath was of prime importance. This is the medieval abracadabra that has surrounded his entire life. In manhood, it will manifest itself in various phases of modern witchcraft designed to captivate the masses of people.
But doesn't our school system serve for anything at all? Can't the infection be checked early?
A fair question. The school record, please.
School record of an ignorant child. Attended classes regularly through first six grades. Had a tendency to stir up trouble and make one of his classmates a scapegoat. Marked tendency to argue. Constantly resented authority of any kind, unless authority was vested in himself. Organized pupils into gang which levied tribute from shopkeepers and smaller children before and after school. Marked delinquency in seventh and eighth grades. Showed pronounced interest in civics, political science, and history. When asked why he liked these subjects, the ignorant child replied, I like them because if you know them, you can push other people around.
This remark is the keynote to the power complex inherent in the subject. From childhood, he wished to inflict his will upon the wills of others. Conclude his school record now, if you please.
Subject left school without finishing the eighth grade. Local police were summoned when he injured teacher with a heavy book. Case was dismissed because of his eloquent plea of self-defense. Later evidence showed that the attack upon the teacher was malicious and premeditated.
Now let us follow this child into the world. The world which he wishes to change into his own design. He secured employment at, let me see, 14.
Who's the new punk?
He's the kid the boss picked up. Name's Iggy.
Iggy?
Yeah. Pretty sharp, too. Boss has got him spotting cars. Catches on fast. Knows what's good and what's hot. Boss says he'll make a good finger man when he gets a little older.
He began as a spotter for a gang which specialized in stealing and stripping cars. When one of the gang of young hoodlums challenged him to a knife fight, he disappeared from the gang precipitately. Again, this shows that he was afraid of physical violence where his own person was in danger. Next, we find him engaged in contact with the people of the Middle West. He went from town to town.
Now, folks, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm here to bring a little sunlight into the lives of each and every one of you. Like the man said about his mother-in-law, if the old battle axe would smile, she'd crack her face. Well, folks, what is life but a little smile, a little give and take, a little sunshine spread around in the lives of every one of us? Now, that's why I'm here. Now, the great company I represent has asked me to come down here and offer to each and every one of you...
He prospered in his trade for a while. He learned the cruelties and the avarices that are inherent in the people, and he played upon them. He was a great talker, loved to make speeches on any subject, and would have become a great pitchman indeed, but there was the matter of being some $85 derelict in his accounts, so he went on to greener fields.
And so it is with great pleasure that I have the privilege of introducing the inventor of Torn U's Wonder Cure, the great healer and doctor himself.
My good, good friends, it was with great reluctance that I came to your fair community. As I drove through the approaches to your town and saw the beautiful shade trees and the grass plots of your lovely backyards, I said to myself, Doctor, this is no place for you. This is a place of health and happiness. These people have no need for you. And then I saw a small child crippled with a dread disease. And I knew that unhappiness had visited even your fair community. And I knew that I would be welcome. I knew that I would be needed. My friends, life has been good indeed to this humble man. Of monies and friends and good health, I have enough to be triply blessed. But how can a man be content to count his blessings unless he is ready to share them with his fellows? How can a man face his maker at eventide unless he is able to say, today I have served my fellow man? That, my friends, is why I have come to your community. To share the blessings that have been given me with you. The formula for Tornu's Wonder Cure is a simple one. It is compounded of pure chemicals and great faith. It is the ultimate combination of great science and man's belief in his God. The science came to me through years of study. The faith through years of suffering. That is why, my friends, I have come to you. Shortly, representatives of this wonder-working cure will pass among you. In memory of that child that drew me to you, and of the millions of sick and ill, I have declared a special offering of this cure tonight for $1 per bottle. $1!
This ignorant child, who had grown into an ignorant, albeit cunning and deceitful adult, thrived and prospered with his wonder cure. But the monies that poured in for the compound of spring water and sassafras was not enough. No, he craved for power. His very being demanded the adulation, the complete prostration of the populace. A corporal had become an emperor. A beggar had become a king.
There must be an angle. There's got to be an angle. A gimmick. Somewhere. There must be a way I can get to the top and push these dopes around.
And, as so often is the case, a woman provided the way. There'd been many women in his life, and then there was this particular woman. She was a good woman. An honest woman. A nice woman. And she fell in love with this man and was robbed of her reason. As love sometimes robs a woman of reason.
Darling, do you have another appointment tonight?
Darling, do you have another appointment?
Yes, I have an appointment tonight. And any other night I feel like it.
Hi. Oh, here's IC. Now we'll have some fun.
Iggy, baby, come to Mama.
Hey, folks, now come on. Let's get the old party pepped up. What do you say? Come on.
That was a historic night in the life of the ignorant child. A woman burst into the place where the party was in progress and screamed that a man had attacked her daughter. The crowd was indeterminate for a moment, and then his voice filled the room.
Wait! Wait! Are you going to stand there like dumb animals while the fair womanhood of America is desecrated?
No! No!
If this land has no law to deal with such swine, we'll take the law into our own hands. I say let's find them and string him to a tree.
The mob, led by the ignorant child, didn't stop to inquire into the man's innocence or guilt. The mob didn't stop. Mobs never do. There was a scuffle, and the man was lynched. And the ignorant child went home filled with a wild excitement. The incident itself was unimportant. He had tasted power. He had discovered himself.
My good, good friends, I consider the post for which I am campaigning worthy of the best that is in a man. I would rather be alderman of this ward than president of the United States. Why? Because my home is here. Because my home is in the best ward in the world. The best. If it were not for certain elements who dare to claim the benefits of this ward and at the same time turn their noses up at honest, though poor men. That's why I want to represent this ward in the city council. So I can join you in driving this element out of our ward, out of our city, out of our state. I wish I could lead you in battle against this element. I wish I could hurl the first stone through their windows. But I can't. I can't because I'm a good American. A law-abiding American. But I can. And you can. We can lick them with a ballot. Lick them and drive them out with our votes. And we will!
Boy sent me over to talk to you, Alderman.
I'm always ready to talk to the people. I stand
you
ever
can
for...
You save that. I've heard it before. Can we talk net?
Net. Shoot.
Where do you really stand? We know you're flannel-mouthing for votes, but what do you really want? What's your price? And can we do business?
Mm-hmm. We can do business.
Well, he's okay. A little nuts, but that's good. Wants to be a big shot. Got a Napoleon complex. But he'll go along.
Will he stay in line?
Don't worry about that. We'll see that he doesn't get out of line. He'll stay hitched.
And so, I should like to conclude by saying that I prize the high office I am contesting for more than anything else in the world. Yes, more than wealth and fame and prizes beyond compare.
Because in this office, I can serve. In this office, I can protect the citizens of this state from the infamy of traitors in our midst. In this office, I stand guard against the hideous, squalling minorities who threaten our government. And in this office, I can deal with them. This is no time for namby-pambies. This is no time for idealists. This is a time for men of action. For men who are ready to fight and strike back and hurt and maim if necessary. Your humble servant is ready to do these things. In the protection of our state, our nation, America for Americans, and let all others beware. We know them, and we will track them down and find them and hunt them out like the coyotes they are. America for Americans! Bless you all. And so, I warn you, look about you and take heed. This is a Christian nation. This is a white nation. Let those who do not conform go elsewhere, or we will drive them there. America or Americans! Bless you all.
This clinical observation has come to its end. We have tried to prove Mr. Hazlitt's thesis, prejudice is the child of ignorance. In so doing, we've conjured up the life and times of an American fascist. This program should have frightened you more than a double horror feature at the movies. Such a monster can be spawned in these United States. Such a terror can bring the hate and viciousness of Hitlerism to these shores. The study of an ignorant child is closed.
Child of Ignorance was written, directed, and produced by Les Weinrot. Tom Moore was your narrator, and Charles Irving portrayed the Child of Ignorance. Original music was composed by Sal Stacco, and the orchestra was under the direction of Caesar Petrillo. Next week at this time, 5 after the hour, will again originate in the studios of WBBM Chicago, and will again be heard at this same time. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The WBBM Air Theater, Wrigley Building, Chicago 11.